Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, or good morning, and welcome to the Higher Dimensions. I'm your hostess, Phyllis Pricer, and it's wonderful to talk to you again today as we're coming down to the end of July. We have with us a lovely guest today, an authoress, and a young lady who's got a lot of accomplishments in her own right, Miss Stephanie South. Stephanie, welcome.
Thank you.
And she is the author of The Biography of a Time Traveler, 2012. It's the journey of Jose Arguelles, the man who is behind the 2012 phenomenon and the harmonic convergence. Am I right?
Yes, that's correct.
And she is also a visionary, as is he. And you are trying to envision the best possible outcome for humanity. And that's what
yes.
we should all be doing for ourselves and for all others. Is that not right?
Yes, I think so, for sure.
Okay. Well, tell us how you came to be and grow into this situation, to be the biographer of such a great man, and what your life's journey is like and where you're headed.
Right. Well, you know, it all began, I began this biography in 2002, and it was really by a series of following my dreams and following synchronicity that led me to this path and that led me to Jose and the work on this book. You know, in 1996, I had a near-death experience where I was basically shown the new reality, or say the new earth that was purified, but I saw that before we could really reach that new earth, we had to go through, both personally and on a planetary level, just a huge purging. And in that experience, I experienced every single thing that I had did or said to anyone that was the least bit negative or that had hurt anybody. I experienced
right.
that as just excruciating pain as the purging was going through, and anything good that I did, I experienced as the highest bliss, and I understood that that's the same process that our planet is undergoing. So my journey really began at that time.
That and is phenomenal. I would call that, I think in the old vernacular, would be life review.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
A deep life review. And that was really
powerful
when I came. Yeah, when I came to, it was very disillusioning to come back to this planet.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
It's sort of like saying, well, wait a minute, I feel cheated here.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So I started reading everything that I could on, you know, near-death
uh-huh.
experiences or spirituality,
right.
paranormal, just to try to find answers.
Right. And that's how you arrived, and your journey then, I had a different type of path, but there was an awakening. I was taken out of spirit, out of body, literally,
uh-huh.
by a spirit, and taken to a place where I stood before judges. So that's a story
right.
for another time, but it was the same thing, because I had that same review. When I was standing before the judges, I had that same lifetimes, plural, review.
That's interesting. Yeah, I had a very similar experience where I stood before. It felt like a circle of elders or judges, as you call
right.
it, and yes. you were shown everything.
Yes.
And
isn't that
you
phenomenal?
Really, yeah, it's really phenomenal. I think it's just a good reminder, like, that we really are held accountable for all of our deeds and actions and words.
Exactly, and what we did and didn't do. That's the other thing.
Yeah,
a lot of people
exactly.
think if you don't do something, then, you know, it's not accounted to you. Oh, yes, it is. One has
yeah.
to be aware of your actions, reactions, and what you do and don't do. And,
yeah, exactly.
Good.
Yeah,
so, this
so
is phenomenal.
Yeah, and, so I kept following the, you know, after that I really started paying attention to my dreams and
right.
to synchronicities, and
mm-hmm.
I was led to a woman named Cassandra Musgrave in
mm-hmm.
in Oregon, and she
okay.
was a clairvoyant who had actually had a near-death experience that was shown a vision of 2012. So one synchronicity led to another until 1998 when I actually met Jose.
What is going to happen in 2012? Or is it just a gradual, it's not going to be a topsy-turvy, as I call it, turning upside down. Is it not more a gradual situation?
I feel like, of course, it's already happening. And, of course, there's so many theories and so many books being written on it, movies, and it's exploding. It seems everybody has an opinion or a theory about what is going to happen. And, you know, of course, nobody can really say for sure, but in working on Jose's biography and in working closely with him, his feeling about it is that it has everything to do with a changing of time, has everything to do with time, with synchronicity, and with realigning both with the planet and our true, and our soul with our true essence. So that's
the point
of what we're anticipating. Yeah.
That makes sense. And it is our opportunity, it is our responsibility to do this. Is that correct?
Absolutely, yeah.
Self-empowerment.
Definitely.
Okay.
Yeah, and it really is the time now, I think, for all of us to take responsibility for everything that shows up in our reality.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think things are made clearer through energies. I feel there's been energy shifts. Right, and they've allowed
us to
have more clarity of thought and foresight.
Yes.
Okay.
Right.
Okay, and this is all coming, and it is available to everyone who chooses to awaken and expand, what I call expand their consciousness.
Yeah, exactly. And we look at it as like a frequency shift, like all of our frequencies are now, I mean, many people are experiencing many different internal sensations or different kinds of energies that they can't really explain, I think, and we're becoming lighter and lighter. A lot of people are needing to change their diets and watch what they would eat a lot more than they used to, and so eat less. Yeah,
well, I'm going to have to say that because I've had a challenge with my weight for years. All of a sudden, I'm eating less, and the other day I ate a little bit more again, and boy, did I suffer. Oh, well.
You do. I mean, really. It seems like it's like instant karma.
Well, it was in my case.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, it really feels like that. Yeah.
Okay.
So it's a real shifting of time, and this whole book and everything, you know, this was written not just as a biography, like in a traditional sense, but really to get through many different messages, and I thought the best way to do that was to tell the story of the unfolding of his life, which in itself is like is a huge synchronicity.
Isn't
it?
And it's amazing.
Yeah, it is.
But he had to go through life, as most of us do, with suffering personal losses and personal awakenings and, I guess, divorce. And in other words, he was just one of us. Right.
Yeah. Exactly. Well, I think what it shows is like what I wanted it to show is that we all live on this third dimensional plane, and we go through all the human sufferings and all that. But simultaneously, there's another story that we're all living. And so I wanted to bring that out. From an early age, he was experiencing different visions and the higher dimensions and slipping into that, but the trick is how do you bring that down and how do you ground and bridge that into your day-to-day reality?
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's marvelous. A little bit more, what do you see happening in 2012? I mean, just an overall broad brush of it, because there's been so much written about it. What did you see?
First of all,
your
voice, I'm having trouble hearing you. It just went really...
I'm sorry. Is it too loud?
Violent? A little bit better.
It's passionate.
Okay.
Passionate. I'm passionate about things.
Okay, got better. Okay. Well, no, it like got really quiet. Like I couldn't...
The
volume. Yeah, the volume went out. Yeah.
Oh,
now
sorry.
It came back. Okay,
oh,
so again, you were asking about...
What did you perceive in your vision when you were in another dimension, when you were... suffering, as you said, from that incident.
Right. What did I perceive that the future would be like? Or
yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Well,
what did you see?
What I perceived, you know, what I felt like heard, the two things that I came out of it with was telepathy, was universal telepathy, and mm-hmm. purification. But what I felt occurred was that some of the memory of what I was shown was erased when I came back too. But
yeah.
I had known that I'd been given a vision, so I couldn't recall exactly the whole thing. I could feel it, but mm-hmm. I couldn't articulate exactly. But I was shown what the mission, what my mission was, or what the mission of the planet and what was happening. I know I was shown all of that, but it was sort of like when you come back down, you get like erased
That happened to me too. When I came back from that visitation, if you put a gun to my head, I couldn't have told you what happened, really, or what it
right.
was.
And I think
it was so frustrating.
Yeah, well, I think then that's part of the mystery of the unfolding that we're experiencing, because we're building the bridge back to that vision. And
okay.
so, you know, but 2012, like I said, with working on the book and everything, it's all about, like, the shifting of time. You know, December 21st, 2012 is the closing of a huge cycle according to the Maya.
Right.
It's a 5,125-year cycle, but it's also the closing of many other cycles that have been prophesied by Native Americans, they've got the Bible code, by all sorts of different religions and things. It's like the ultimate, the harmonic convergence 2012, you know? It's sort of like, and what I'm feeling or seeing is that many people, you know, they're waking up to this, like, 2012, who never even, like, would talk about it or thought of it.
Mm-hmm.
So already all these different paths are converging of people that are connecting that may not have connected or even really, really got along 10 years ago. But
mm-hmm.
now this is somehow, there's a big unification and just a big, I think, some kind of mass DNA awakening.
Yes, I agree. One of the things I have noticed is that I have been able to read people's minds more clearly lately.
Right.
And I'm finding that I can do this with animals as well.
Mm-hmm.
And that's interesting because it's given
mm-hmm.
me an aspect into them that I'm not so paternalistic with my pets as I am working with them as partners. Does that make sense?
Right. Yeah, absolutely.
giving respect.
Yeah, that's the whole vision is that we're becoming telepathic. That
mm-hmm.
that we should be. Once we don't have anything left to hide, we would all be telepathic. Or the animals are already telepathic with each
right.
other. And so the clearer that we are in our mind and in our consciousness, the more psychic or the more telepathic that we can
we
become.
Are. Yes, and we can become greater healers as well, because I'm in the healing.
Yeah, yeah.
And I can see almost, I work in a hospital setting as a volunteer, I can
uh-huh.
see the light around people's hands who work with the babies.
Right, wow. Uh-huh.
It's really cool. It's really cool.
Yeah.
So this is something that's new and unfolding. I mean, it's like an, the never-ending story?
Yeah.
That we can continue to grow in all of these things. With this story, you have wanted to, and I'm going to let you just sort of speak. I'm going to try and keep my mouth shut because I love sharing with people. I would like you to give your message to what this is all about, what you're all about, what you hope to impart to people with this book and with your life, because right now it's
uh-huh.
your life story as well.
Right, right. So, well, with this book, like I said, I felt that that Jose's life and what he's experienced and the visions that he's received are important for people to know about or for humanity, because, for example, the 1987 Harmonic Convergence, which many people, millions of people participated in all around the planet, many didn't even know why at first that they were drawn to go to sacred sites and things. You know, that came out of a conclusion of a huge prophecy that had been given to Jose by a Lakota named Tony Shearer in the early 1970s, and then he had a vision in 1983 that he was supposed to gather people at sacred sites. And so I think that what I want to come out of this is that we're all moving into a higher level of synchronization and of unity. And I think the whole point of this book or of Jose's life and life work is to really get us all to to start questioning and raise our awareness as to the nature of time and synchronicity. Those are the two main, factors. What is time and what is synchronicity? It seems like a little thing, but basically his basic message is that the human race is living on artificial time, like run by, we all know that on some level, run by the clock and the calendar, but we don't realize the devastating effects that this is happening, that this is having on both on ourselves and on the biosphere, and we're basically destroying the planet. And so the shifting of timing frequencies, like that's the main message that he's been communicating through his entire life, of returning to natural cycles, or returning to, you know, cycles of the indigenous, cycles of the moon, cycles of nature. And so that's the main message, though there's many, many others throughout throughout the book.
Mm-hmm. Okay. That is pretty huge, you know. So that would be one of the reasons for the green movement, shall we say?
Well,
the green movement. Okay.
Right.
And it comes at a very desperately needed time, from what I can understand.
Mm-hmm.
That this is really a time of, I don't know how to express it. It's a time of great importance to all of us. And if we don't heed it, it's an understanding, and yet we can change things with our minds and reality. It's not a matter of you have to go out and do something. Am I correct? Isn't it also that you can do this by your intention?
Yeah.
By the use of your mind?
I think that a little more? Absolutely. I think that's the main message is that, you know, that of course this is all a spiritual journey. It's all a spiritual test for all of us. Like being on this planet is a huge spiritual journey. And yet, and the main thing is for 2012 is really, like we said, taking responsibility for your own inner journey and really connecting with your own channel or with your own essence, because that's when you're going to be able to, like you said, then the healing powers start coming through. And if each one of us took responsibility in that way, then our planet would be spontaneously healed. I mean, if everybody did that, granted, it's not likely, but the whole book also points to that there's, you know, of course, like another, this is just a little story playing out on our planet that's actually, you know, part of a huge interplanetary story that's playing out throughout the cosmos, and that there are higher dimensional energies that are helping us and guiding this whole program at this time. It's sort of like, you know, Jose views the great cycle that leads up to December 21st, 2012, that this 5,125-year cycle, he calls it, you know, the cycle of history, where you could look at it that the humans had a certain allotment of time to see what kind of civilization that they would create or what kind of reality that they would create for themselves in this period of time. And then so like 2012 is like a code word of the evaluation of that, when we all either, you know, something to that degree, that's the best way that I could put it, when we all according to our, what we've put out, or our frequency, we either go up or we stay the same, or we go however, you know, how, what, according to our consciousness. So I feel like, you know, it could be very different for each consciousness or experience what occurs. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so this is not only a group energy, but also an individual living response for each human being. Is that correct?
As far as individual and collective. Yes.
So groups of people may move into this new, is it a new dimension or new reality? How would you explain that?
I would say a new frequency, that as we vibrate in a new frequency, we're actually going to see a different reality. You know, like when you're clearer and you're in a great mood and you're walking and everything is brighter and everything feels good, that's one frequency than if you're really depressed and you're walking around and then you see things according to that frequency. So we want to unify with as many people as possible to really lift the frequency, because it really is a group. You know, it's up to all of us. Either all of us go up or none of us do.
Now, really? Is that true? That we all go or we all don't go?
If we all go, I'm talking about the overall raising of the frequency of the planet. There's many dimensions, like we talked about. There's also the individual aspect of it and everything. But all I'm talking about on the group level, if we all, like, as a group, however many of us are, say, raising the frequency, that's the level I feel that the Earth frequency will raise according to that level.
Okay.
Now, on the
okay.
individual basis, I think that that's something, I think that there's a few levels that we're dealing with.
Right, because I have heard in the readings that I have done that other civilizations in the past have indeed raised their group level to such that they have moved to a different, higher vibrational level, shall we say. But they found civilizations, and it's been puzzling people or scientists because they can't find where the people went all of a sudden. It was like they were there 1 minute and gone the next, and I understand that that's kind of what we're talking about. But that's a possibility.
Yeah, exactly. I think that's definitely a possibility because, as we know, it just, you know, the fact is that not everybody is going to, not everybody's ready to advance in that kind of a vibration yet.
Right.
And so, you know, who knows exactly what happens? They could be taken to, you know, another realm or a place where they continue their education at their level of learning, or nobody really knows how that goes. There's many theories about it, but I don't believe that everybody is going to get it.
Right, right. Well, some of us are slower than others.
Yeah, but my feeling is if our intention is in the right place, then we all lift up, like how the Bible said, if you have the mustard seed of faith.
Well, if even a few righteous men would make a difference. That's true.
Right.
I've seen that. I've seen how the few can sway the many, and that's a fascinating concept. Mr. Arguelles.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Uh-huh. He's still alive, right?
Yes.
Okay. And well and kicking, we hope.
Yes.
How much is he involved in this? Has he slowed down any over the years? Has he come to a breathing place?
I would say he's consistently receiving information, I would say.
Okay.
Of a higher and higher. Okay. Yeah. Consistently. He's a strong meditator.
Yeah.
His daily life basically consists of arising at about 2:30 a.m. and and meditating for about 3 hours, followed by yoga. So the level of discipline is
phenomenal.
Really, really great. And as you can see, this biography just goes up to 1993, and there's a whole second part to that.
Right.
And so, yeah, it's still very much, you know, he actually is working with, there's a website that you can go to, it's www.noosphere.com. Noosphere, noosphereforum.org. And so he's working on the noosphere is the anticipated next stage of evolution. And so that's that's the site that he's working with. You should check that out. There's a really great, he's basically putting out the meditation for everybody, as many people as want to do it, of visualizing a rainbow around the Earth, kind of like the Rainbow Bridge prophecy by 2012. And online there you can find an actual video that it's a really amazing video that shows you how to do that and shows the whole thing if you go to noosphereforum.org and look for the Rainbow Bridge meditation. It's phenomenal.
Okay.
And it'll give you an idea where he's at now.
Okay, and that's noosphere.org?
Right.
Okay, and that's the main, and then you could go to other sites from there, or other subjects.
Yeah, and that's what we're working toward, you know, gathering as many people. Already many people all around the planet are doing this meditation, the
right.
Of the Rainbow Bridge. And basically, the Rainbow Bridge Review, we're visualizing a purified planet, but like putting a rainbow around it for, you know, for the harmony, or basically working with our mind, with the electromagnetic field of the planet, mm-hmm. to create something positive that's visible, that we can all see and do it with the, mm-hmm. with the group energy. So
well,
yeah, check that fun. That video is
sure.
phenomenal.
Okay, that sounds absolutely wonderful. Thank you. Thank you for sharing.
Yeah,
that.
Thank
Hope
you.
Everybody got it. And if people want to contact you and talk to you more, or get your book, could you give them that information now?
Yeah, you can get that on, you know, you can get it at Barnes & Noble's or Borders or www.amazon.com, or my website is www.south-timetraveler.org. And mm-hmm. so any of the main bookstores, they should be able to find it.
Fabulous. So how long did it take you to get published? I understand people have a hard time. How synchronistic was this for you?
Well,
tell people how things work into your needs or specifications when it's in the right field.
Right. Well, quite honestly, you know, I worked on it for, it took, you know, 7 years from the time of that I started working on it, but I was
wow.
working on it for probably 3 or 4 years. And then, you know, it got published in Mexico and Japan before it got published in English.
Really?
And so, yeah, so it was an interesting... an interesting journey, and it took, I actually, when I traveled to Australia, I actually met a woman who hooked me up with an agent who happened to be in California, so it took traveling all the way around the world to get the right connection.
Isn't that interesting?
So,
what a journey.
Interesting how it works. Yeah, really
fascinating.
Really fascinating, yeah. Yeah, but it is a strange time for publishing now, as you can imagine.
Is it?
With the internet. Yeah, well, internet. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, definitely.
I will tell you, internet will never take away books from my hands unless I pry my open my dead fingers. I have to touch a book. I have to feel it. I have to be able to pick it up and smell it and taste it and enjoy it and be able to go back over. I cannot do that with the internet. Sorry. It just that does nothing for me. But I do love
absolutely.
Books. So as far as people like me are alive, we will have books. Believe me.
Yeah, exactly.
And I guess you like books the same way.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Yeah, you can feel the energy of the books on the internet.
Well, you
the
can.
Energy kind of first. Yeah.
Well, you know, what I do is when I can pick up a letter or something that's written, and I can feel the energy of the person, and it tells me a whole story about the people.
Yeah, absolutely.
Is what I do. Yeah, and it's
absolutely.
Fascinating. And I guess you could do it to a certain extent on the internet, but not so much so, to be honest with you. I think it's a bit, it's displaced, it's diluted is the word I'm thinking, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
But
I agree.
Okay, that's wonderful. So what else are you interested in sharing with us? You were in Australia recently, I know. And now you're out back here in the States. What are you doing out in that part of the universe?
Well, I was on a bit of a retreat. I had a lot of friends out there that we were working with. And I completed something called the Star Traveler's 13 Moon Almanac of Synchronicity. So that's basically based on Jose's work. It's available now. And actually today... it's based on the star Sirius, and today is the first day of this year. It's July. It goes from July 26th to July 25th, 2010. And so today is actually the new year that we're talking on right now. And yesterday there's something that Jose put forth in 1991. Every July 25th, celebrated all over the world. This year it was everywhere from... you know, from Japan to Ecuador to Uruguay to the U.S. to something called the Day Out of Time. It's a peace through culture festival that just happened yesterday all over. There was a big one in, the base of this movement or whatever is located in Ashland, Oregon with Dr. Emoto. And
I know
Dr. Emoto.
Yes, I know of him, yes.
Yeah, Dr. Emoto also, you know, he knows Jose as well, and he coordinated the water ceremony that he does once a year. It's also on July 25th, and so it was coordinated with the Day Out of Time celebration. So it's quite amazing, and these happen all over the planet. And it's a day to just stop everything and really and forgive everybody. That's, you know, just a day of universal forgiveness and to celebrate art and just to be out of time. You know, instead of the regular day-to-day. And so that happens every July 25th. And like I said, and now it's the beginning day of the new year. So, and I've got this, the Star Traveler's 13 Moon Almanac. I'll send one to you.
Oh, thank you.
Check
I
it
would
out.
Love that. And when you talk about Star Travelers, what are Star Travelers? Who are they? How
they're
they impact our lives?
Yeah, I think we are the Star Travelers. Yeah, we're the Star Travelers with amnesia.
Oh, we are they. Have we as them?
We are they. Yeah, because if you think about it, I mean, it's pretty strange that we're on this planet. You know, when you really stop and think about it, we are the Star Travelers, and so. Mm-hmm. But this calendar basically it shows you. You know, you live. It's like day to day on your normal, like July 26th, you look that up, and then you see, like, what the frequency of the day is. There's different synchronicities, or it's beginning to learn how to work with or live in different cycles other than the Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday Gregorian calendar.
Right.
Yeah, so you start living, and it really does shift your consciousness when you start living, like, in 13-day cycles, and that's an easy one to start with, and so this tells how to do it.
Okay, and how does it mesh with the Gregorian calendar, as we call it, the one that we have to stick with at this time?
Yeah, it's really easy to follow because any calendar can be put, it's got the Gregorian calendar dates in it, so you just look up, okay, July 26th, and then you just look at what the other things are for that day, so you can continue to, but you can follow them both simultaneously. And, you know, the Maya, you know, used up to 17 calendars at a time.
Really?
So,
now that I didn't know.
Yeah, and it really increases your consciousness just to start keeping track. It's got the moon cycles in it as well. And it's like a whole, you know, it's a template that you can plug in anything into it. But it also has a sort of like, for example, today is, you know, it's Sunday on the Gregorian calendar, July 26th, and on this calendar, it's a yellow self-existing seed. And so what does that mean today? Today is the day of awareness, and it's the day of ripening or flowering, and, you know, it's guided by the sun. And so you start to just like, and you start to kind of meditate or think about that, and it changes your lens of how you view the day.
Hmm. Okay.
So it's a great tool for kind of breaking you out of habitual thinking or just loops that we can go in.
Right. Well, one can go in those loops. I know those loops very well. Do we live in more than one dimension at a time? Are we living in simultaneous or multiple dimensions? No.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
I think it's just, and any of us can learn to tune into those other dimensions. Like, if you have, like, for example, if you experience deja vu, if you experience synchronicity, those are little glimpses into the simultaneous dimensions, and what we want to do is try to learn how do we cultivate those, or how can we tune in, and I mean, there's so much to explore with that we haven't barely even tapped.
Right. This is a whole new thought for me. I kind of forgot to tell people that they can call in and ask you questions. I'm sorry. Let me give you the number here. I was kind of so fascinated with what you were saying. You are allowed to call in, ladies and gentlemen, to 888-815-9756 and to speak personally to Stephanie South or get any information you'd like, ask her questions, or even provide some information you might have. but this is absolutely fascinating. And are we coming up to another big incident, because it sounds like something that's a negative, and I don't mean it to be, but another big celebration, shall we say, like the harmonic convergence of 87? Are we coming up to something like that?
Yeah, I think what people are putting out now is for the harmonic convergence of 2012.
Okay.
So really putting out for massive unifications and celebrations at that time.
And I would assume that that's going to be on the December 21st or something.
21st, right. Right,
okay.
Yeah, the solstice. So, because according to, you know, Jose, the prophecy that he was given that concluded the harmonic convergence, the whole reason for it, it actually, part of that was opening the 25-year portal to 2012. That was the main significance of it, and that it tells it, like, right now we're going through this mass acceleration on the planet right now as we get closer and closer to this date. It's like, it's almost like all of the karma is just like at the forefront and just like working itself out very, very rapidly right now. And so, but the whole point of the harmonic convergence was, it was like the dress rehearsal for 2012.
Okay, so that will be held on the 21st of December?
21st
that
of
year?
December, yeah. And a lot of different people, I think, are planning events for those dates.
And is he in agreement with that, or is it just is that an idea that he's planted and developed?
He hasn't actively pursued that, no, but just many people I know are already beginning to set their compass.
Well,
set their compass to that direction.
Okay,
what's
what is his take on that? Does he concur, or he hasn't had anything to say about it, or
you mean with events or with
he looks at it the more
unification the better.
Okay.
That's his take. And his feeling about 2012 is that we are entering what's called, like I said, the noosphere, and that's a term that was coined by Pierre de Chardin and also Vladimir Vernadsky, and that's like, you know, they're the omega point, or what they called kind of like the big shift. And so he's, you know, a lot of people, like especially in Russia, the noosphere and the coming of all of this being equated with 2012 is that it's the anticipated next evolutionary cycle. And that's basically where Jose's energy is right now, is working on the noosphere projects, like with different papers, different practices, and experiments in telepathy, and that's kind of where he's headed.
Okay. Well, that's absolutely fascinating. And what is your part in all this? Well, you can be continuing to chronicle this, to develop it, to write about it.
Definitely. I've written the part two of the biography of the time traveler, and I've done the Star Traveler's Almanac, and I'm also working with him on a 7-volume series that leads up to 2012, and we just completed the fifth one. So, so it's quite, and it's basically new knowledge, or new knowledge for after 2012. Like I said, he's done so much, like, that's why I really felt to, you know, do the biography, because I saw how much work he's actually done that isn't even known about. He's only known, like, you know, basically for the harmonic convergence or the Mayan, but the work that he's done is so vast. And so we're working with a lot of that, a lot of really fascinating information. And so I've been working on that, and, yeah, lots of projects happening.
When do you have time to be you?
Well, you know, how I see it is, like, you know, I feel really fortunate that I really, really feel like, you know, that this is a calling, and that I'm actually living what I came here to do. And so I really love all of it. Like, I feel like I get to, you know, really express a lot of creativity and explore, you know, a lot of realms. I feel really fortunate and really grateful, like I said, because I know that this time in this world is fleeting. I mean, we're only allotted so much time on this planet. And so I think that, like it's so, I feel so fortunate, and I know so many people are looking for what they came here to do, and I hope everybody finds that, because I really feel like I've I found that, or I'm in alignment with that, and I feel like, mm-hmm. you know, my conscience feels clear, and I feel really good, and that's my wish for everybody, because I think that that's the best.
Does that feel great?
You know, yeah, I really do. I feel really fortunate, for all of it. And so, like I said, that's my wish for everybody, because if we all were really doing that, then there would be no war and no competition and all that.
No, because there is always enough for everyone. I think that's one of the strange things that I am finding these days, that I am seeing the clarity and wondering when people start arguing and fighting over this, that, and the other thing, and I keep shaking my head and saying, but it doesn't matter. It's not important. You know, there is always enough. All you have to perceive
is
there's enough, and it is so.
There is.
And
most
people don't understand that. They come from what someone, we used to say, could still be saying, is a poverty consciousness, where there is a lack. As you said, walking along the street, and what do you see? You either
mm-hmm.
see abundance or you see lack.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
And that choice is yours. That choice
mm-hmm.
is yours on each mm-hmm. and every level.
Yeah.
Okay. This is a lot of fun. I am so enjoying this.
Yeah, me too. It's
good.
Really good, and at the same time, I see, like, I'm in Los Angeles, and
uh-huh.
see, you know, there's so much, you know, of course you can't, I mean, there's so much suffering on the planet, there's so much confusion, there's so many, I mean, and you just have to keep, you have to keep visualizing the best reality for everybody. Just imagine everybody who's sick getting well, everybody smiling all at the same time, and just really keep on doing your best to put those vibes out. Just knowing that our thoughts really do affect everything.
Well, it is, because I learned that a long time ago, and I just thought it was an unusual thing to have done, and it was fun for me to do. And that was when I worked for an embassy, for a gentleman in the embassy. I won't say which one after all these years. I realized then how I greeted him with my tone of voice was directly proportionate to the way he would respond to me. And he was not aware of it, and I became conscious of this fact.
That I
could control the whole atmosphere by my tone of voice. And it was amazing to see his instant response to it. And
you don't
realize how empowered you are as an individual. You have the power to create peace or disruption in your life. It's up to you, but you're going to have to change old patterns to do so.
Yes, absolutely. That's a great example. For many people don't realize, like, the power that we hold, and you know, and it really is on our planet today with all the bad news that's out there and things like that. It really is a choice you have to make every day to remain positive and to put positive energy into your environment. It is, and some days it's more difficult than others as a human being. As a human being, but if we all join together and share our experience, then it makes it, then we can at least laugh about it.
Oh,
you know?
Lord, I'll tell you, there have been times when, you know, I would have wanted to be dropped, but drop kicked myself through the ghost post, whatever it is, you know. It's been very, very difficult in many ways, and
mm-hmm.
there are some things coming around. I have worked, I think I told you, and I've told my listeners about a vision I had almost 20 years ago, and it's about, I think, to come into fruition, into setting up a healthcare training course that involves traditional and alternative therapies. And the world was not ready yet. I wasn't ready yet, which, you know, annoys me, because I had my vision then, and I've been waiting ever since for the vision to come to fruition. And
mm-hmm.
it has, but through a series of circumstances and synchronicities that you wouldn't have believed, and tracked over the period of years. It's amazing. Absolutely amazing. Because
so have you felt it?
Well, go ahead.
Do you feel it coming to fruition now, you said? The vision?
Yeah, within about 30 to 60 days.
Uh-huh.
I will be 30 to 60 days. Yes.
Oh, I see. Oh, great.
Teaching course set up and running.
Yes. Oh, great.
Yes.
Oh, that's excellent.
Yes, and it will help people to heal themselves and as they're learning the healthcare field.
And that's wonderful.
Well, it is. It's in the right time, the right place.
And, yeah.
Because 20 years ago,
are more
people wouldn't have. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, people are really open to that now, it seems, you know. And we need all the healers that we can get. That's what I'm saying. Like, to me, 2012 is like this wake-up call. What did you come here to do? Do it.
Right.
You know, or at least do your best to get there. You know, to make the steps toward why did you come to this planet? What did you come here? What's your special gifts to offer?
Yeah.
And I think that's so important that each of us are really doing that and asking ourselves that, because the planet needs us and we need each other to be in our highest form of empowerment.
Well, I agree, because it's always been my thought that we are our own healers. And learning how to, even in a generic way, to take care of ourselves in traditional therapies, and we move forward into the other, because people see miracles every day with babies and with people who have been ill or injured. And,
absolutely.
The other thing I'm seeing that is surprising me and causing me to stand back is the loss of so many really unusual people, talented people.
Yeah.
In such a very, very short period of time. I mean, it's been absolutely amazing. It's like I want to get over to the other side so I can take in the show.
yeah, I know.
Lots of
things
happen on this earth. Yes.
Yeah, I think that the Michael Jackson was a big shock for a lot of people, too, huh?
Yeah, I do feel so sorry for him.
I know.
Because I think it's time to go, but still,
absolutely. Mm-hmm. But I know what you mean. Like, a lot of people are choosing to leave the planet right now. And probably more and more will do so just because either they can help better on the other side or they just can't be here.
Well, no, they aren't going to be. They won't be able to take the tremendous changes of energy, which I think are going to take place. And you're really going to have to be physically oriented for that too, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes.
Otherwise, you're just going to lose your body.
Yeah. And that's what I'm saying about the whole, like, we can't, you know, the lightening of the diet. It's really being called for now, and like you said, we are our own healers, and getting back into, you know, herbs and the medicines from nature, like, you know, the different herbal remedies, things like that, and really, like, you know, fruits and vegetables and just all that kind of stuff, that's our healing, not the pharmaceutical companies.
Thank you very much.
Although
there are some benefits from pharmaceuticals, I have to say, because all healing comes from God, no matter what. But a lot less would be needed.
Right, but I'm saying in general, most people are over prescribed, or people can you know, instead of it, because it just kind of like masks some.
Yes.
In many cases, I'm not saying all. You know
what
I'm talking about?
It does, and I will tell you, sometimes the cure is worse than the illness. If you've ever read some of the side effects of some of the medications, I'm thinking, I got sick with an infection. I had to take an antibiotic. It was a dual antibiotic, too. I said, I think I'd rather be sick with the infection.
I know.
it's
incredible. Yeah.
It really is,
yeah.
But, you know, as we move along on this earth plane, where are you going to next? Where are you going to hang your hat next? Where are you going to be? And you mentioned some of the books that you're writing that you have hope to have them come out within this year or next year, or how do you have that planned?
Yeah, they come out once a year. So this one is finished. It should be out in about 6 weeks or so. So it's like I said, it's just like you keep doing it one step at a time, whatever's in front of you. That's what it feels like.
Mm-hmm.
And the next thing, you know, be going to Italy, actually. Jose's going to be conducting a 7-day kind of like advanced training seminar type of thing in Italy in September. And that's, so I'll be going to that.
Wow.
And then, so that's kind of the next, that's about as far as I'm looking at this time, because there's so many things happening right now.
He doesn't come out to the D.C. area, does he?
He hasn't been there often, no.
Oh.
But if he does, I'll let you know.
That'd be wonderful, because I'd love to go hear him. I have a feeling we know each other. It's just a weird feeling I have.
Yeah, I'm sure.
His energy feels familiar while you're talking about it. I'm feeling something that feels very like I've known the man before. And I've had that happen. I've had that happen a few times. And on a few speakers that I've gone to hear. And afterwards, we've spent the night, not together, mind you, together physically.
Right.
I've gone home and spent the night as though we were visiting on another plane of existence. And when I got up in the morning, I felt like I wrung out this rag. because we were talking all night long, catching up on things that we have done since we came to this earth plane. And that's been kind of weird on occasion, I will have to tell you.
Yeah.
That's been a real weird thing for me. I haven't had that for a number of years, but it's...
It's happening more. It's happening more and more where we're meeting the people that on some level where you're maybe like your soul family in another dimension, that when you meet them, you feel it, but you can't totally articulate exactly the feeling, but you feel almost like a transmission, or you get the chills, or you can feel it throughout your body, but you can't articulate it. And I think that's what's happening.
A knowing of what we've done. That's very, very important.
So what
are you doing right now between now and when you toddle off to Italy, which I envy you for, by the way. I must tell you, I would love to go there.
Yeah, so just here doing some more interviews and having a few meetings and just taking care of business stuff.
Okay.
So for a little bit and trying to enjoy a little bit of the summer here, in Australia it was the winter time.
Was it?
Even though it's nice, but, you know. So
what
just trying to relax. It was, it was in southern Australia, so it's a little cooler there. It's not like, it's not tropical. So, it was similar to Oregon weather, if you know what that is. That's where I'm from. So I say that. But, it was a little chilly. It wasn't summertime, we'll put it that way, so it was kind of nice to come experience a little bit of summer during July.
Which is having summer weather here in the States anyway. Well, that's nice. So you are hoping to continue on with this work. You feel this is your life's work. Do we see any rest for the weary in the coming years after 2012? What are we scheduled to do? Are we going to be continuing on with heavy work?
We hope so. We're putting out the call to, basically like the 2012, kind of a call to return to a more simplified life, like, growing our own vegetables and things like that, and having our own, the water. Obviously, the planet is undergoing huge transformations, and so we'll see what, nobody knows for sure what's going to occur between now and then, or how that might affect our reality or what we do, or even where we'll be or where we might be moved to. I mean, I just feel really open right now to kind of the calling of spirit as to where, we'll all know, I think, where to be or what to do during the time. So you just never know, because life is a mystery. It unfolds step by step.
It's a fascinating journey, and you can either go with the flow or, could kick against the traces. I've never done much traveling, though I've always wanted to, but my life circumstances have been such that I've been anchored here. And I'm not sure I'm happy with the anchor, but that's...
Right.
I'm
here
happy
in Washington?
Say, yeah, D.C.
Here in Washington, D.C.,
So I feel I've been anchored here to hold energy for whatever reason.
Well, that could very well be that. I'm sure that's true. We need energy like that there.
Well, God knows.
Especially there.
Uh-huh, I know. There's so much hot air. You can't tell the difference between summer and winter. Hello.
Yeah, I know. But, we're all going through the transition, and just knowing that, like, deep down, we really are all one. I mean, one family, and we're all really one, and we all want, we all want a positive, I mean, most of us want,
yes,
want to be happy, and we want, you know, we all want the
others
same
thing.
Others
to be happy, because you can't be happy by yourself, I've noticed.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, when there is someone
that's
else
true.
Who is sorrowing, there's this desire to help them to smile, and laugh. Comedians do that, you know, to help
yeah.
lift people up, because it is a way of lifting the soul and the delight of the soul. And
absolutely.
Laughter to me is one of the things that I like best. There's so much people, so much in people with sadness and sorrow and looking for the negative things that, you know, I don't know.
Right.
It's really difficult sometimes.
Yeah.
To have people lift themselves up into a
yeah.
different way of thought, because they seem to enjoy being down, which
yeah.
drives me crazy.
Yeah, yeah, I know. So whatever we can do to
yeah.
make it better, it is.
Lighten the
it
load,
is, like,
lighten the load.
Yeah, exactly.
So
I
are
know.
There is there anything that you would like to discuss now that you would like to cover that we have? We only have a few minutes left, and I'm hoping everybody has enjoyed this as much as I have. I would look forward to receiving
right.
from you any information
yeah.
or calendars or books that you want to send me, and we'll go over them again and share
absolutely.
Them with the public. But tell
absolutely.
Me anything else you would hope to share today and would get like to get across.
Well, I think the main thing is like to just if you don't already know, just to start investigating time, investigate the calendar that you use every day, find out what the names of the months actually mean and why they
mm-hmm.
were named that and how it all came to be, because that's an education
sure.
in itself. And then also just, you know, begin experimenting and in living in different cycles. Like I said, the star travelers thing that was created is for that purpose. But if you start living in other cycles or whatever, it really creates a shift in your consciousness. You don't realize, like, what a program, for lack of a better word, it is to live Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and then Saturday, Sunday, and it repeats. It, like, you repeat the same mental programs, the same
mm-hmm.
programs, and it's like it keeps you kind of in a rut. And so if you begin to study the nature of time and consciousness and just really, you know, seek out other ways to be and just...
Okay.
Okay, yeah.
That sounds wonderful. Thank
yeah.
you. All right,
thank
Ellen.
You.
Well, thank you so much, Stephanie. I look forward to receiving
thank
your
you.
Mail.
Okay,
and
okay.
hearing from you. God bless you. And
okay.
again, thank
okay,
you,
God
Stephanie
bless you.
Self.
Thank
good
you.
Night.
I really enjoyed it.
Oh, thank you, and goodbye, everyone. Thank you for listening, and we'll be on next week. We'll do readings, and one of these days we're going to have this beautiful young lady back on and sharing with her the new world to come. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
In our Constitution, the Founding Fathers laid a path to an economy that should have kept Americans free and prosperous. How we the people were tricked off that path into a world of debt and deception reads like one of the great mystery novels of all time. American Free Press compares author Ellen Brown's new book, Web of Debt, to an eye-opening thriller that will leave you feeling like Neo in the Matrix. In Web of Debt, the mysterious and often shocking origins of today's ultimate financial crisis are exposed, starting with its distant beginnings to its